Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first verse. The next day, Jesus saw coming towards him. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the dove descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. You may be seated, and I would invite the children to join me. Good morning, everyone. Have you all had a really good week?
Yes.
Well, good. I have something for you today because we have our box that we have special things in. Now, can anyone tell me what this is? A magnifying glass. And what do you do with a magnifying glass? You see stuff that is small. Does it stay small?
No.
No, it makes it bigger. And magnifying glasses can help us figure things out. When we're curious about something, like I might be curious about that spot on your pants, I could take this and I could make it bigger and see it. In today's gospel lesson, John the Baptist introduces Jesus to two of the disciples. And when they go and follow him, they say, Jesus says, "Come and see. Come and be curious. Come and learn about new things." So this week, I've got a magnifying glass for each of you. And I want you to be curious. You can keep them.
Yay.
Yay. You can keep them. And I want you to be curious about all the things that you can come and see. And today, during our sacred space, there are some little pictures up there. And I want each of you to come up and take a picture. Then you can go back to your seats and find, discover things, be curious about your picture. And also, I want you to remember to be curious about Jesus' story and the new life that it gives to each of us. You may take them home. Yes. Let's have our prayer and then we'll pass them out.
Dear God,
help us to be curious, to learn new things, and discover more about you. every day. Amen. Okay. Pass some of them back.
That's a lot.
And if I don't have enough, I've got more. Did everyone get one? You didn't? There's one for you. You've got one? Okay, when you have yours, you can go back to your seat. Anybody did not get one? Okay. Thank you for being patient. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to thank you for sharing. Obviously, I can't read all of these or we will be here for a long time. But I'd like to read a few of the answers, the responses that you gave to my question of how have you been moved or inspired by your faith in recent days. And kind of listen for what the maybe pattern is here. The Faith and Justice team has inspired me to love my neighbor more. Pastor Michael's interaction with a member's family Christmas Eve. He moved a child to tell his mom, church-going family, his non-church-going family, that he wanted to come back. And a friend of their son was so moved that he was accepted and could take communion. He had been rejected by his own church because he loves the wrong sex. I was inspired by a visit to our Faith Family Hospitality's families by 4 therapy dogs and trainers. Really lifted the spirit of our families, adults and children and volunteers. I've been lifted and opened by through the eyes of people that work with stray animals, our amazing counsel, and the love of others. And the last one I will read. I am reminded of the power, beauty, and grace of God every morning as I watch the sunrise. Thank you for sharing. Every response is important, holy, moving. Something that reminds us of why it's good to be the church in this place. All the responses joined together tell our story, the story of our Savior's Lutheran Church in Colorado, in Fort Collins, Colorado. And my hunch was correct, because what most of us shared was just as telling as what wasn't shared. There wasn't much, if anything, about doctrine or dogma or denominations. No one said a word about abstract rules and regulations that are necessary for the institution we know as church. No one mentioned anything that had to be figured out or reasoned or rationalized in too many ways. The most meaningful events are those that we have experienced, witnessed, seen, heard, tasted, touched, felt in some real, hands-on human ways. I wonder if the disciples of John were hungry for the same things, whether they would have explained it that way or not. When they first saw Jesus and started to follow him in this morning's gospel, what did they want? John points them in the right direction. Look, here is the Lamb of God. And they followed, because Lamb of God for first century Jews meant sacrifice, forgiveness, redemption. And who wouldn't want to know and understand why John would call Jesus any of those things. Andrew and the other disciple of John meet up with Jesus, calling him rabbi, teacher. Maybe they were expecting a lecture or a sermon or a reading or some ultimate sharing of wisdom, something that was traditionally the job of a rabbi. But Jesus doesn't do any of that. He offers an invitation. Come and see. Come and see. So they do. What may have begun as curiosity blossomed into fascination, into a lifelong journey of learning, experiencing, living, and ultimately dying. Andrew and Peter, and eventually the other 10, experience Jesus as he heals and forgives and tells great and astounding stories. Even his teachings are experiences, really, parables and life lessons that paint vivid pictures about the kingdom of God. They watched him live and move and breathe with and among everyday people, just like they were, just like we are. They watched him touch lepers and be touched with the oil and tears and hair of a sinful woman. They saw him love others deeply, purely, simply. They watched him suffer and struggle. They watched him weep at the death of his good friend, Lazarus. And they walked with him as he endured pain, the pain of sacrifice and death. The Lamb of God, after all. They suffered the sting of his loss. And even more profoundly, they felt the joy of his redemption as they found the empty tomb. All of this changed them, transformed them, and it changed the world around them. By one simple invitation to come and see, they learned to receive and to share all they experienced. That is still God's hope for us as followers of Jesus, that we would come and see, which so many of us have, based simply on the responses, the most holy and profound responses that we just shared. And God's hope is that once we've come and seen, we will go and show, so that others might be changed by the same grace that we have experienced. Shane Claiborne, a Christian theologian, activist, worker for justice, and author, is credited with saying that the gospel spreads best not by force, but by fascination, with fascination being defined as being attracted and held attentively by a unique power. Not by force, but by fascination. When we demonstrate our salvation, not earn it, not explain it, not prove it or try to make sense of it, but demonstrate that our salvation already is, we live that salvation with acts of love and grace and mercy, with acts of justice, peace, welcome, hospitality. It's no shock to any of us that we live in a changing and increasingly unsettled world. The go and show part of today's message takes courage and resilience and fascination, energy. We must not only talk the talk, we must walk the walk in a world where the walk becomes ever more threatening. When we were in the Holy Land, I was shocked to see street signs forbidding Israelis from entering upon threat of punishment. How do they even know who is an Israeli, I wondered. when everyone looks and is dressed similarly. At least that's how it seemed to me. Our tour guide, an incredibly faithful Palestinian Christian, became extremely anxious at checkpoints throughout Israel. I couldn't even tell when we had crossed from Palestine into Israel. It was fascinating, life-threatening, terrifyingly risky for him, and unendingly courageous to live on the edge as he does. I don't fully understand, as I don't have to live on that edge, even though I'm called to do so. Jesus operates through action, and he calls us to action, to live discipleship, to come and see, and then go and show, to share the gospel, not by show of force, but by radical, faithful living, to put flesh and bones, to give life, our flesh and bones, to the good news and grace we experience from one day to the next, to share the gospel with fascination. It's one thing to be here this morning with our worship booklets in one hand and our best intentions in the other. It's another thing to live love and forgiveness, to live sacrificing and sharing, to give beyond reason, to taste and offer up the fullness of God's kind of grace and mercy with the world. Whether it's in the bread and wine of communion, or in the water of holy baptism, or any of the things we shared earlier, the stuff of life and faith that matters the most has to be experienced, to be lived. We have to come and see it as much as anything in order to believe it or be changed by it before we can go and show. This life of faith is meant to be felt and lived, which God proved by showing up in the flesh and bones of Jesus. This life of faith is meant to be practiced, not just preached. This life of faith is meant to be shared through worship, learning, service. This life of faith matters most for us and for others when we come and see in the flesh and blood, through sweat and tears, in laughter and love. And when we become it and then go and show it to such an extent that others are fascinated by the light of our very lives as we share with them the good news of the gospel for the sake of God's world. Amen.